think we were talking yesterday about how the third presentation is kind of the lowest of the low. So I might try to get through this a little bit quickly and we can move on to our upswing of the attention span. So as you mentioned, my title is that we need a safe, walkable way to connect our sisters and brothers, and I'll detail some of our study findings for you. I just want to first announce that I have no relationships to disclose. And I want to acknowledge my study team and partners. And so this was basically something that we conducted with Livewell Greenville. And so I have Sally and Yvonne to thank. They were big advocates for the study, as well as Greenville Dreams and our neighborhood presidents. This study was funded by Blue Cross Blue Shield. My academic team, this is part of my dissertation, so I have a lot of people to thank for their support. And of course, none of this could have been done without my research assistants, which were the people that helped to transcribe and code all of this. So, lots of love for those individuals. So, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but I'll say it anyways. The majority of us do not meet physical activity recommendations. And in fact, according to data collected by the 2013 BRFSS and analyzed by the CDC, only 20% of adults meet guidelines, and that is the physical activity guideline for Americans, so the PAGA, and that has the two components. And basically, that only 27% of us are active on a daily basis. And also, physical activity rates are much lower among minority populations. We know that black Americans are also at an increased risk of developing chronic diseases, and also that black Americans have among the highest rates of hypertension in the world at 44% of adults. As well, we know that neighborhoods are a potential opportunity for individuals to get some of that PA. We basically have policies, though, here in America that we talked about, kind of the policies in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and following up with some of that, we don't talk about redlining and how that basically has resulted in higher concentrations of minority populations in disadvantaged areas. And so what basically that results in is the concentration of people who would be most likely to benefit from neighborhood resources into the most disadvantaged and resource-poor areas. We know that these disadvantaged neighborhoods are more likely to lack resources. So not only do they lack the supportive attributes, but they also have other hazards and social attributes such as safety. So the purpose of my study is that we have several studies that have identified neighborhood factors associated with PA. That's kind of a blanket statement. There's a lot fewer studies that actually look at neighborhood-specific physical activity, right? So we tend to kind of measure physical activity in general. So you could get that anywhere. You could get that at a gym. You could get that walking to and from your work. And so we really specifically wanted to focus on physical activity done in your neighborhood. As well, fewer studies have done this qualitatively and looked more at in-depth perspectives. And relatively fewer studies have explored perceptions of residents who live in predominantly black and low-income communities. And so basically our purpose was to explore residents' perceptions of the factors that influence their own PA physical activity within their neighborhoods. So again, I mentioned this study was funded by Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina, and we worked with Livewell Greenville to establish the Greenville Healthy Neighborhoods Project. We selected 8 neighborhoods to focus on in that study, and I conducted focus groups with each of these special emphasis neighborhoods. Special emphasis has previously, these were kind of a designation that was previously identified by the city of Greenville as communities who face socioeconomic and historical adversity. So these were neighborhoods that were historically segregated. But they were also communities that the city was choosing to partner with to leverage existing resources within those communities to improve the health and well-being of their residents. And so I really felt that this project, our goals fit well with what was currently going on with these neighborhoods. So in order to be eligible to participate in the focus groups, you had to be 18 years of age, an adult. These were uninstitutionalized adults, and they were residents of the neighborhoods. And we really focused on asking them to describe their neighborhoods, asking them to describe opportunities to be active, and what neighborhood factors are really associated with your physical activity. And so basically that was broken down to ways in which your neighborhood promotes or prevents physical activity. So myself and a few others transcribed all of the audio recordings verbatim. We had four transcribers and two coders. We used grounded theory, which basically allows for data to drive the coding schemes and themes that emerge. It's really inductive and allows us to identify underlying themes. We then used emergent coding to generate initial categories, and open and axial coding was used to achieve consensus on our themes. Across the 8 focus groups, we had a total of 76 participants. And I will say that focus groups lasted about an hour and a half at a time. We focused on more things than just physical activity. The sample was predominantly African American and female and older. The socioeconomic status of these individuals or their household income, for the most part, was pretty low. So here we had 36% with less than $15,000, but an additional 28% also had an income of less than $30,000 as an annual household income. So we're talking most of our population considered low income. And 42% had a high school diploma or lower, did not finish high school. Approximately almost half were employed, but predominantly also retired and disabled. So just to talk a little bit about broadly about the findings, we had 3 themes of which they wanted to talk about. They really identified benefits to physical activity. They also talked about neighborhood characteristics, of course, that were associated with physical activity. And they also talked a lot about ways in which to increase neighborhood PA. And within those, then we had 7 sub-themes that I'll go over now. One of the benefits of PA that they really recognized was that there were both physical and mental health benefits. And so Stephanie was just talking about PA linked with depression. It's nice to have some overlapping themes here. So I love the freedom and the mentality because we have a beautiful area. Our parks are beautiful. Somebody is always down there doing the grounds improvement with the park and things in my head. It's soothing to the soul to a certain degree, just getting out walking. I also hear that walking helps you to rest better at night. It does. It's good for your heart, your lungs, you lose weight. And I enjoy walking and going around the block. I feel better when I get home. They also mentioned that there were social benefits. They felt like they were more connected. We are in the South, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of front porch sitting. And so as people got out to go on their walks, they had this fantastic opportunity to engage with other neighbors, other residents in their communities. So I enjoy the people on my walk. You see people on their porches. I feel safe when I walk. I feel like nothing is going to happen to me. I think it's nice when I walk, I see the same people out on their porch. They might not be going to work, but I see the same people consistently. I feel like I know them. But again, it goes back to building communities. You know, you say, hey, and you stop and look at their flowers. So another theme that we had was they talked about neighborhood characteristics that were associated with physical activity. So they did talk a lot about safety and hazards. So they talked about violence going on in their neighborhoods. They feel worried about that. They don't know which direction I'm going to run into somebody who might just be crazy and try something. Another person said, I enjoy going for walks, but I know which street is safe for me to walk on. I walk straight through to the markedly different neighborhood just behind us. So I know what streets I enjoy walking on when there's trash that is everywhere. I just don't like seeing standing water and crushed up bottles. And so I don't think they sweep our streets. I know which houses don't have dogs on a leash, and that does prevent me from taking longer walks. But we have to get out. We've got to do it, or else we have to drive to a park. Another aspect that was associated with walking that I think overlaps some of the benefits, but this was specifically related to why they wanted to walk, was the social aspect of it. So not only was it a benefit, but it was also something that was associated. It was a precursor, really. So they see you walking, and sooner or later, they get curious. They start interacting. They start walking. And it would be a good place to meet, just to meet people, have conversations, just take off walking and talking. I got a friend of mine, and at times we just take off and go walking. That's one of my favorite activities. I love walking, and sometimes I stretch it more than I have to. Well, I just like it. You meet people and you stop and talk. And then they also talked about some ways to increase neighborhood physical activity. They talked about improving safety in their neighborhoods. And this particular person, they were talking about wanting to get a park in their neighborhood, but talking about then, of course, some of the subsequent consequences of putting a park into a low-income neighborhood. They said if we did get a park, we have to be present and active to keep crime away. And if that calls for police presence, then that calls for police presence because it's our community, it's our kids, it's our community. So they talked about being physically active in order to take back their community or to increase the safety. So I thought that was a really interesting theme, that if they were out and about in their neighborhoods, it would increase the safety. My idea is to have a section in the neighborhood that allows seniors to have an area where they can walk around the neighborhood to feel at ease when they're walking around. Sometimes I walk around there and I don't feel at ease, and I walk around the whole area. There are a lot of elderly females in the area that need a place where they can walk around and feel comfortable. That's something that we have to address. There's a lot of glass and stuff, which makes it hard. And honestly, at night when it gets dark, it's not comforting. So it definitely keeps me from, if I get home right at 6 o'clock and it's starting to get dark, I'm not going to go walk or run. They also mentioned some structural opportunities to increase neighborhood PA. So they said have a walking track would encourage people to walk, having a place in their own neighborhood that they don't have to drive. I mean, I go someplace else to exercise because there's really nothing in my neighborhood, and then it's costing me more because I have to drive there. But it gives me a safe place, a safer environment to exercise in. And as Jamie talked about in her presentation, sidewalks. Sidewalks would help. They would definitely help and encourage me to get out walking, as well as the children, because I have children. And, they have to play out in the street. They can't. And when they have to walk to their grandparents' house, they're walking in the street. There's no sidewalks for them. And even one of my neighbors, she has a wheelchair, and she has to ride in the street because there was no sidewalk for her to get out with her wheelchair. So that was a negative. And then the people that say they do have sidewalks, they say, yes, we do, but some of them aren't always maintained, and cars are parked on them. I'd like to see more bike paths on some streets. So this just kind of emphasizes some of the structural opportunities that they really saw as ways to increase physical activity. They also wanted programming or social support for physical activity, right? And the picture here is my shout out to Girl Trek. If you haven't heard of it, I recommend that you look it up. It's a fantastic social initiative that's going on in African American communities across the United States. So please check that out. It's my plug. I've heard of a program that's called Walking Buddies, where you get a couple of your neighbors in the neighborhood together and you go out two or three times a week together. That would be a way of getting neighbors out and exercising and getting to meet other people in the neighborhood and letting yourselves be out so people will know what people they have in their neighborhood there. I think that's a pretty good idea. Have a walking club, because that way you have someone to share the walking with, and actually it's much better because you have conversations, you can talk, you can encourage each other, and it's healthy. It wouldn't feel like a chore. It would be something that you look forward to. Because I know every afternoon at 6 o'clock they're going to be coming, so I got to get out there and I got to go. And then once we get started, we get to laughing and talking and whatever, and walking, of course. And then it's over, right? So some of these social benefits of walking and really making it more of a social aspect in their neighborhoods. So just a little bit now about some discussion. So residents were really aware of the benefits of physical activity. They talked about physical, mental, and social benefits within their neighborhoods. That despite several barriers, they still reported walking. I walk, but I walk when. So they suggested that walking will also improve some of the existing conditions in their neighborhoods, that it was a way to improve safety, to reduce crime. And so overall, neighborhood, I would say, in my opinion, that residents really saw neighborhoods as an opportunity to engage in PA. They reported both social aspects and benefits to walking. So social support helped them, but it also encouraged them to walk. And also there were ways to, they talked about ways to increase physical activity in their neighborhoods, which included both structural support and programming. So that's just a synthesis of the results. So some limitations, of course. This was a convenience sample, which limits the generalizability of our results to other other settings. Physical activity was a subset of other neighborhood issues that I discussed in these focus groups. So overall, I think I mentioned these focus groups lasted about an hour and a half. The main theme of the talks were how do neighborhoods influence your health. So physical activity was a subsection of that. We also talked about nutrition. We talked about social cohesion. We talked about trust and building community. And so the actual portion of time that we spent talking about physical activity was probably around the 25-30 minute range. It was a focus group setting, of course, so residents were familiar with one another. They may have been more likely to kind of gel with one another and not refute points. That might be a little awkward. But some of the strengths of our study, we really focused on residents living in historically disadvantaged neighborhoods. There's not a lot of research going on in this area. It was a qualitative study that really provides us with more in-depth conversations, which makes the residents, it makes their interpretation, they become the experts, essentially. They tell us what's going on in their neighborhoods. And I mentioned that we talked more than just physical activity, but I also see that as a strength. So I put down it's a holistic approach. So talking about ways that your neighborhood influences your health, I think that that might have generated other ideas that may not have come out if we were solely focusing on physical activity. I think it's part of a much broader picture, and so I would definitely argue for taking a broader approach. In conclusion, residents of historically disadvantaged neighborhoods do know the benefits of PA, and they seek out opportunities to be active within their own neighborhoods. Being active in those neighborhoods was also seen as a way to build community and enhance the safety, so to kind of improve existing conditions. However, these neighborhoods might need assistance with implementing both structural and social support for physical activity. And I really feel like we should seek to work within our communities and with residents to identify their unique challenges and opportunities for PA in their current settings. This is a quote by someone who I didn't actually get to see her presentation yesterday, but this is the beauty of going on the last day, is you kind of get to incorporate other people's thoughts and really see all the beautiful things that are happening here. So her name is Alice Simmons. She's with Youth Uprising, and I found it on Twitter, so APHA15 hashtag. She said, "The people in the place to be transformed are not the problem. They are the solution." So thank you for coming this morning. These are just some lovely pictures of the people in Greenville and all the beautiful work that's going on there. And this is my contact information if you have any questions. Thank you.
Do we have time for one question?
Right. So she asked about if inactive people were also active in the focus group discussion. And I will contribute that to just my population being much older. So the people that said that they were not active, it was they did talk about issues. My hip was a big one. But they were older, and so they didn't get out because there were physical constraints to, you know, their physical health. But no, I think of the people that were active, it's, I do get out of my neighborhood, but only at a certain time. So I think the only limitations really to saying I'm not active in my neighborhood or because I cannot physically get out. So, yeah. Good question, though. Thank you for being here this early.